Like I said earlier, we are so incredibly excited that you guys are here with us as we dive into part two of this series that we have been in that we are calling Winning the War in Your Mind. And over the course of these 4 weeks, throughout the entire month of June, we're having a discussion around the most powerful thing in every single one of our lives. And yet we're having a discussion about a thing that, while it is the most powerful thing in every single one of our lives, for so many of us, it feels as if it's the very thing that is most difficult to control in every single one of our lives. You see, what we believe with all of our hearts is that our minds control every facet of our lives. And what that means is that when it comes to the battles all of us face in our lives, the struggles that we find ourselves up against, that every battle of our life always begins and ends within our mind. And the problem that so many of us bump up against as we face this war in our mind that comes with worry, fear, anxiety, depression, and all sorts of insecurities is that along the way, what we have noticed is that our minds are very personal and private things, am I right? And oftentimes, when our minds become very personal and very private, what it means is that no one else has to know the anxiety and worry and fear and doubts and insecurities that we're dealing with. And the longer that we find ourselves concealing those things in our lives, the more likely we become to believe that we're the only ones struggling with these things to the degree that we're struggling with them. That as we look around at everybody else's life and frankly everybody else's social media feed, what we find is that it must just be me who's dealing with this sort of anxiety in my life. There doesn't seem to be anybody else out there that's battling the amount of worry and fear that I'm up against every single day. That when I look out into my world and my circle of friends, it seems to be that no one has to fight this war of depression in the same way I do every single day. And yet, what if that just wasn't true? What if the fact of the matter is that you weren't alone in this? That you weren't the only one battling this? Just last week that you got a glimpse into my story, that every single weekend before I walk up onto this stage, I'm 8.5 years into this, y'all, of doing this every single weekend. That every single weekend, just in the snapshot of the 30 minutes that I have to walk up here, that I deal with doubts and fears and insecurities in my life, just in that one facet of my life every single week. That every single one of us are battling this war that exists in inside of our minds, sometimes in small ways and sometimes in significant ways. And the truth of the matter is that every single one of us has an enemy that wants to reshape our minds one lie at a time. But what if this is also true? What if there was a way to begin to fight back? What if there was a way for our future to no longer be defined by feeling as if we're losing at the hands of things like worry, fear, anxiety, depression, doubt, and insecurity? What if there was a way for us to begin to take back control of our minds from this day forward? That's what this series is all about. For many of you, you know the journey that we have been on as Core Community Church, frankly, over about the last 9 to 10 months. This journey of transitioning from our old facility on State Route 96 over into this new facility and going from about 6,100 square feet to remodeling and reshaping about 37,000 square feet in this facility. And the incredible story that God has been writing in and through Core up until this point, and the only God stories that we get to continue to experience since we've moved into this building over the course of the last 10 or 11 weeks. And yet what many of you also know is that in that 9 to 10 month process, that there has been an awful lot of blood, sweat, and tears that has went into making this happen and making March 26th, our move-in date, a reality around here to see God continue to do incredible things and allowing us to reach further into our city and further into our world. And yet what many of you may not know is that this place coming to fruition and us being able to open our doors to that extended process was only made possible because of literally hundreds of volunteers who invested their time, energy, and effort into laying carpet and painting walls. Literally hundreds of thousands of dollars were saved because volunteers showed up week after week, night after night, in hopes that God would use this place to do incredible things. And on top of that, a very small staff here at Core Community Church that has continually reached outside of their job description and outside of their comfort zone to do things outside of their gifting and outside of their calling to invest in something bigger than themselves and invest in God doing something incredible in and through this place. And one of those such places in which staff has been called to reach outside of their gifting and their skill set is this. That one of the things that we implemented and that we changed when we came over to this new facility is there are now three large group environments happening simultaneously on a Sunday morning. From our Velocity Theater, which houses our elementary age kids in Velocity, that they're experiencing worship and large group teaching every single week in Velocity Theater. That inside the loft, which is our student ministry room, right now there are middle school students who are experiencing a service that is directed towards them and helping them take next steps closer to Jesus Christ. And then Inside Out, which happens on Sunday afternoons for our high school only ministry, and having something that's directed directly to high school students and helping them grow. And then right here in this room for our adults in the auditorium. And across every single one of those environments, as we prepared for this move over, there were some significant production and technical needs that had to happen within each of those environments. And when it comes to stepping outside of your comfort zone, right now at Core Community Church, all the production and technical needs fall under my job description and umbrella. And for those of you who know anything about me, you know that is not a good thing, y'all. That when it comes to technical things, Ben Carver should be keeping his hands off. And yet as we prep for this place and all the technical needs that needed to happen and all the production stuff within Velocity Theater and then into the loft and then right here into this room, we had some incredible opportunities to tour some other churches and to hear some stories of things that were working well and innovation that they had implemented that had allowed them to introduce Jesus better into people's lives. And some of those things we were able to implement across here, some of those things you don't even see. You see, one of the ideas that we came across when we visited a church was they introduced us to what was called stage boxes, and they're essentially hidden boxes in the floor that run across this stage. And now, for the most part, all of our wiring doesn't run across our stage, but it's connected to this box, and it runs underneath the stage. And then, exposing all of our secrets, we dug a hole under the ground of the auditorium that runs all the way to the back of the room and into the tech booth, so that everything runs underground from here all the way back to the soundboard. As we were preparing to open this facility, every single one of those stage boxes needed to be wired with power, needed to be wired with XLR cables to be able to connect instruments and microphones and all those sorts of things. And the person tasked with that job was me. And so there we were in the weeks leading up to it, and as you can tell, the stage beneath me is not one that you can stand up underneath of. And so there I was, army crawling through the stage, taking wiring with me to connect it to every box and making sure it gets to the right place and the stage box behind the right place into the board backstage. And in the week leading up to move-in, Krista grabbed her guitar and she started to play. And we were beginning to tune instruments and find and make sure that everything was in the right place. And there was nothing coming through the sound system as she was playing. And I began to panic and look across every single channel. And what didn't I mute? And what do I need to turn up? And what did I miss along the way? And as we began to scale through every single one, what we began to notice was that the acoustic guitar was coming out through the channel that was labeled bass. And I was crawling under the stage, and my refusal, my wife loves these, I'm like, I look absolutely stupid, I am not wearing a headlamp. And so there I was with my cell phone out in front of me, army crawling through the darkness with all of these wires trying to get them to go to the right place. And essentially what I had done is I had hooked the acoustic wire into the bass wire and the bass wire into the acoustic wire. And my initial thought was, you know what the easy step would be? To just relabel them on the board back there. To just say the acoustic is the bass and the bass is the acoustic, and to make everything go away by fixing everything on the surface. And yet what I also recognized in that moment, that I had crossed the wires underneath the stage. That if I didn't do the difficult work of uncrossing the wires, that there would be issues that would surface later on because I hadn't actually fixed the problem. I had just taken care of what seemed to be the problem on the surface, but I hadn't done the difficult work of crawling through the darkness, getting into the difficulty of switching and rewiring what needed to be switched around so that things could function correctly from that moment forward and what we do around here. And you see, the fact of the matter is that for many of us, when we look at our lives and the struggles that we face mentally every single day, the truth of the matter is that many of us, if we were to get honest enough and to look close enough, experience wires that have become crossed in our mind. And the temptation in every single one of our lives is this, is to simply fix it at the surface level. To buy into what everybody else, the world around us, is doing that seems to be working for them, that seems to be masking the problem for them, to begin to believe that maybe the solution to my worry, my fear, my anxiety, my depression, my insecurities is just to swap out spouses. That maybe the solution that extinguishes the worry and the stress that I feel on a daily basis is just to go on a vacation that looks like theirs. Because when I look at their social media feed, it looks like they're a whole lot happier and a whole lot healthier than what I am. And so maybe that vacation is the solution for me. That if I just got the boat, the title on the door changed, that the bottom line on the checkbook was just a little bit higher, then maybe all of the things that I'm experiencing mentally in my life would somehow fade away, would somehow be fixed. And yet at some point in our lives, what we have to recognize is that for all of us to begin to take steps forward, that we can't just mask the problem and fix it at surface level, that we have to be willing at times to crawl through the dark places of our lives to do the work of rewiring, of fixing the crossed wires that have taken place in our mind and beginning to fight back and take back control of our minds in a way in which the world rarely does, in a way in which we rarely see modeled by the people around us. You see, this guy that we introduced last week, a guy by the name of Paul, gives us this advice of how to fight back against the wars that rage in every single one of our minds, the battles we fight against worry, fear, anxiety, depression, and insecurities that we face every single day. You see, Paul says when we fight back, we are being called to fight back in this way. In his letter to the church in Rome, chapter 12, Paul writes this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Don't take your cues from what everybody else around you is doing, how they're attacking the stress and the worry and the fear and the anxieties that attack them every single day. Don't copy what everybody else is doing, but let God transform you into a new person. And some of us are like, man, that's what I need for my life. I look at the struggles that I'm up against, the worry and fear and anxiety, depression and insecurities that I face every single day, and I want something new and different for my future. But how do I get it? By changing the way you think. By changing the way you think. You see, our futures can become drastically better than our past. We can experience a new and better future by changing the way you think. You see, if you want your life and your future to change, you have to start by changing your thoughts. And this is why. Because your life always moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Our lives always move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. And the fact of the matter is that when it comes to our lives and the direction of our lives and what we get out of our lives, this truth always eventually rings true. You can't have a positive life with a negative mind. You can't have a positive life with a negative mind. And the reason that's true is this. It's because ultimately what's in our mind always comes out in our lives. The things that we think always manifest themselves into how our lives play out eventually. Every single time, that's how it moves. And if we don't consciously attempt to take back control of our mind and ensure that our thought life is moving in a positive direction, what we all know is that there are a million things in this world that are trying to hijack our minds and take it in a negative direction. But here's the good news. It is possible for us to take back control. It is possible for us right here, right now, to begin to root out things like worry, fear, anxiety, and insecurities in our lives and in our stories. But the problem with taking back control of our mind is that oftentimes we miss or overlook a vital step. It's the same vital step that we often miss in trying to reshape our bodies. You see, if you've ever been here before, you can think back to a time in your life in which you set a goal when it came to your physical appearance or how you felt physically, that you were going to get fit or lose weight or put on more muscle in your life. And our natural tendency when it comes to reshaping our bodies is to believe that the way in which we reshape our bodies is to change what we do with our bodies. And so what do? We make the conscious decision that in order for me to get fit or lose weight or put on more muscle, it requires me to start to do some different things with my body. And I'm going to commit to going on a walk 20 minutes every single day. I'm going to get in the gym and I'm going to lift weights. I'm going to show up to CrossFit class 3 times a week. And yet what we have encountered in the moments in which we have made our physical health all about the things that we do with our bodies is that we have run into this time and time again. That initially we begin to see some results, right? That we lose a few pounds, that we start to see a little bit of the slimming effect, that we start to feel a little bit better about ourselves, but after about 3 weeks, what always happens? We reach a plateau. And we begin to wonder, I'm still doing the same things. I'm still walking 20 minutes every day. I'm still going to CrossFit class. I'm still showing up at the gym. And yet nothing seems to be changing now. And you see, when it comes to reshaping our bodies, what we've missed is this. As that in order for our bodies to change in the way we want it to change, it is just as much about what we put into our bodies as it is about what we do with our bodies. That if we want our bodies to reach their full potential and we want to lose the amount of weight that we've set a goal to lose, or we want to put on muscle, or we want to get more fit with our lives, then we have to start thinking about what we eat and how much we eat, what we drink and how much we drink, and so on and so forth. And yet oftentimes we miss that exact same vital step when it comes to our minds. That what you put in always determines what you get out. And it's so easy, even in the midst of a series like this, for us to leave after week one and just to set the goal. I need to think differently. 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 And Ben's right, or I took the thought on it, and all of my thoughts are negative or full of worry or about all the earthly things that stress me out. And I need to change some of those things. And we go to work like, all right, I'm just not going to think about them anymore. And about a week in, what do we find? That we're failing at it, and those things still keep popping into our minds, and we're still stressed out and worried and fearful and have anxious thoughts and insecurities. And what we've missed along the way is this. Nothing is changing because we haven't changed what we're putting into our minds. That your input always dictates your output. And so if you want your thought life to move in a different direction, the introductory step is you have to start by changing what you're putting into your mind. You have to start by changing what you're allowing in every single day. And if you find yourself Still listening to the same people, the same conversation around the water cooler, the same friends that are moving in a direction that if you were to get honest, you really don't want to move in your life, your finances, your marriage. That you keep tuning in to the same mainstream media outlets that tell you how bad the other side is and how much this world is crumbling and everything's going to die around us. The reality is the more you continue to put the same stuff in, the more you will get the same stuff out. Is that if we want to begin to win the war in our minds, it requires us to recognize we have to change what we're putting into our minds. We have to change what we're allowing to be a part of our thought process every single day. When I was growing up, 30 years ago, I can still remember coming home from school every single day and flipping on the TV. And as you can imagine, at 3:30 in the afternoon when I would flip on the TV, there weren't a whole lot of great options. And so for me, there were really two channels that I would choose between. PBS was on channel 2 and ESPN was on channel 33. And this was back in the day, y'all, where there was no such thing as God. There was no such thing on the remote as a go back button where you could just flip between one and the other. That if you wanted to go from 2 to 33 or 33 back down to 2, you flipped through the channels to get from 2 all the way up to 33. And every single day as I would sit there, y'all, I was a man very early in life. When a commercial would come on to one channel, it meant that it was time to switch to the other one to not sit there through the commercials and to catch something on a different channel. And so there I would flip through the channels to make my way from 2 to 33. And yet as a kid, as you were flipping, right? You guys know this. As you're flipping through 3, 4, 5, 6 at 3:30 in the afternoon, the channels that begin to pop up on the screen are filled with things like soap operas. And a few weeks ago, it brought back all of these memories when Jerry passed away, the Jerry Springer Show. And there I was flipping through the channels, and every once in a while as I was flipping from 2 to 33, I would stop on one of those channels, the Jerry Springer Show, like there was a duke 'em out moment going on, and I would stop on the show. And here was the crazy part in my household. I grew up in a fairly large house, and my mother could be in literally the opposite corner of the house from me where I was watching TV. And if that channel would freeze on a soap opera or the Jerry Springer Show for literally 5 minutes, y'all, from the other corner of the house, I could hear my mother yelling every single time. It was like this was my mom's sixth sense. You need to turn off that trash, Ben. Turn off the trash. Probably hundreds of times in my life, my mom would say, "Turn off the trash." And yet, looking back on that moment, what I recognize about my mother is this. My mom recognized very early in my life, what I put into my mind will always dictate what comes out in my life. What you put into your mind will always dictate what comes out in your life. And if you don't like the direction that your life is headed, maybe the introductory step is to begin to change what goes into your mind to ultimately change what comes out in your life. And can I just challenge you with this? Don't let what goes in your mind be an accident. Because we all know this to be true. No one heads in the right direction by accident. And so if you want your life to head in a better direction, you can't let what dictates the direction of your life be an accident. You can't let what goes in just be an accident. Because the truth of the matter is this, if you keep tuning into the same porn sites, it becomes ridiculously difficult to not have lustful thoughts about the person, the stranger that walks past you on the street. If you keep tuning into the same mainstream media outlets that tells you how bad everybody else is and how everything in our world is wrong and bad, it is nearly impossible for you to not be judgmental of the other side and to think this world is a terrible place and there's no such thing as redemption or turning it around. But when we change what goes in, the way in which we operate on this earth and the thoughts that we have, and what comes out in our life changes along with it. It's the reason why Paul gives this advice. As he writes this letter to the church in Philippi, to give you a brief historical context that I think explains so much, Paul writes this letter as he literally finds himself rotting in a jail cell. Unsure of what his future looks like, unsure of if he'll ever get out, unsure of if he will die right here in this jail cell. And as you can imagine, right, there are negative thoughts abound all around him in this moment. As he's battling his own uncertainties of his future, but also you can imagine, right, the negativity that's swirling around him from the inmates that he finds himself in the presence of every single day, the conversation, the worry, fear, anxiety, depression, and insecurities that would be so easy to be coursing through him. And as I read this passage, I can't help but believe that not only is Paul passing along advice to the church in Philippi and the core community church 2,000 years later, but it's advice that he's passing along to himself in this moment that he finds himself battling all of these wars in his own mind. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. It's as if Paul is setting this table 2,000 years ago. You want good stuff out of your life? Put good stuff into your mind. Be conscientious of what you're watching, who you're listening to, and even what you're scrolling through. If all you put in is negative, it's only a matter of time before all you get out is negative. But I love this one word that this passage uses in the New King James Version. You see, in the New King James Version, we see the same beginning through this translation, and I gave you a snippet of that. Fix your mind on whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are right, whatever things are lovely. But as we get to the end of this passage, there's this new word that they translate into here that carries so much incredible meaning for our steps forward. He says, meditate on these things. Now, I know for some of us, when that M word comes out, there's a little bit of heebie-jeebies that rise up in us because we've been fed the myth that this word meditation is some sort of new age religious movement about becoming one with the universe. And yet, when we go back to the simplest definition, the truest definition of this word meditation, this is literally how the word meditation is defined. Check this out. It means to engage in mental exercise, to focus one's thoughts, to be conscientious about what is going into your mind, to focus on what you're thinking about. And when I look at my own life and I ask this question, the answers are not very favorable. How often do I find myself seriously focusing on what I'm putting into my mind? You see, for some of us, if we were to get honest enough and look close enough, we would need to heed the advice of Jackie Chan in the newest Karate Kid movie. Your focus needs more focus. How we choose what goes into our mind requires a greater focus, a greater intentionality in our lives. You get deliberate about what you're thinking about. You work on putting good stuff in, and you stop putting bad stuff in. If you want a strong mind, you realize that it isn't just what you get out of your mind, what you do with your mind, but it's also about what you put in. It's the reason why the writer of Psalms just kept coming back to this one word again and again and again. Check this out. In 119, he writes this, "I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways." When we go back to that definition and we fill that in for the word meditate, I fix my thoughts on your precepts and consider your ways. I focus my mind. I engage in mental exercise that takes me to the place of thinking about who you are, how much you love me, what you say about me, the truth you're speaking into my life, how you are for me every single day and want what's best for me. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. And then just a few chapters later, he writes this in 143. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I focus my mind on how big of a God you are. You are a God who holds the world in your hands, and yet a God who cares about the details of my life. You are a good God, a loving God, a big God. And y'all, what would change in all lives if we continually reminded ourselves of this? I may not know what my future holds, but I know who holds my future. What would change in the amount of fear, worry, anxiety, stress, insecurities that we face on a daily basis if we recognize that the God of the universe holds my future and he wants what's best for me? I have nothing to fear. I have nothing to be worried about. I have a God who 2,000 years ago has already won the battle on my behalf. What would change if we brought ourselves back to that again and again and again? You see, Eastern meditation would tell you that meditation is all about clearing your mind to relax yourself. No. Real meditation that brings about life-changing change in our minds for our futures is about filling our minds with the truth of our Creator. We fix the crossed wires in our mind by fixing our minds on Jesus. And here's maybe the coolest part of all, y'all. What goes into your mind, you get to choose. What goes into your mind every single day, you get to choose what goes in there. You have the power to make that choice. But the difficulty is that we have to be disciplined enough to choose to put the right stuff in. So this week, we're going to finish over the next couple of minutes by building on this battle plan that we started last week. This battle plan that God gives us of how to fight back and take back control when it comes to this war that rages in every single one of our minds. And if you weren't here last week, we began with these two foundational steps. That in order to fight back and win the war in our minds, it begins by identifying the thoughts, the strongholds that are holding us back. Being courageous enough to ask questions like, what's worrying me? What am I constantly thinking about that brings about fear or anxiety or insecurities in my life? What are the strongholds that are holding me back? And then secondly, to name the truth that demolishes those strongholds. To be able to identify where the worry and the fear and the insecurities are coming from, and then to be able to recognize that those things are all birthed from lies from the enemy. And I am capable of breaking every single one of those things that holds me back by identifying God's truth and what he really says about me. That when I believe I'll never be good enough, he says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. When I believe I'm too far gone and I'll never be able to kick this addiction, God says, you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. When we believe I can't do it, I'm not good enough, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We identify the stronghold that's holding us back, the thoughts that we've been believing that are flat out lies, and then we name the truth that demolishes those strongholds. But now we build on that. And here's how we build on that. By thinking about those truths more often. By choosing that those truths are the things that daily or multiple times per day are the things that we're going to choose to put into our minds. And so here's how we ensure that we choose well. The first step is this, that we make a choice that when it comes to God's truth, what we need to hear in the middle of our insecurities, doubt, worry, fear, the struggles we face every single day in our profession, in our marriage, within our parenting, within our finances, that we're going to write it. That we're going to find God's truth that demolishes that stronghold in my life, that is contrary to the lies that we've been believing, and we're simply going to write it down. And y'all, I'm giving you permission as you write that, you identify that truth, to keep it simple. That God loves me. God made me. God for me. God says I am enough. I am his child. I am chosen. I can do all things through him. Whatever it is that is for you, that you write that down and you find a place to write it in which you're going to be reminded of it on a daily basis. Maybe right now you're like, Ben, I'm walking through that and I just need to put something down right now and I'll pin it up someplace in my house, on my refrigerator because I'm there quite a lot throughout the day or whatever that looks like. That you take that notes page that's in your weekly and it's blank on the back for a reason, that you write out a truth right on there, or you find a note card, or maybe on a mirror within a bathroom in your house, you write it right on there. And every day you come back to this written truth that breaks the strongholds, that breaks down the lies in your life. And then secondly, once you've written it, then you choose to think it. You find a place that when life gets hard, you come back to this truth and you think this truth and you remind yourself of this truth over and over again, that I'm going to control what's going into my mind. And so it's just not going to be by accident. I'm going to think about this, make sure that I see it. And then once I think it, when I hit the difficult moments, I'm going to profess it. Simply, I'm going to speak it. I'm going to tell myself this over and over and over again. When the stress and the worry and the doubts and the insecurities and the fear and the anxiousness closes in, I'm going to profess this over my life. Sometimes when I'm in my car, when I'm in my bathroom by myself, when I've had enough for the day, I'm going to say this out loud, that I'm going to profess it again and again and again, until I believe it. Then I'm going to say the truth until I believe the truth in my life. And when we consistently profess God's truth into our lives, this is what God guarantees for our future. This is so good, y'all. In Psalm chapter 1, God makes this guarantee, this promise. When we constantly meditate on God's word in our lives, this is what ultimately flows from our lives. Check this out. But they, that means us, y'all. We get to choose what goes into our minds. When we choose to delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night, on God's word, on God's truth, on what he says about us, on how much he loves us, on how we are chosen by him. When we choose to think about those things every single day, this is the promise. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. You see this, y'all? This is why I love the bridge of that anthem song that we've introduced during this series. When it talks about Jesus' blood that's washed over us, that's delivered us, and then he uses this word, command, awake, arise, my soul. I prophesy over my life. We get scared about that word, prophesy, but this is all that word means, y'all. That we are capable of seeing what our future holds. And we are capable of that because God makes a promise to it. We are capable of seeing that when we change what we put into our minds and what we think and what we do with our minds, that our futures will move in a better direction, that the leaves will never wither, that we will bear fruit each season, that our lives will turn in a different direction. That kind of mental confidence, y'all, begins to take root and is stronger than worry, fear, anxiety, and insecurities. You see, when it comes to rewiring our minds and getting into the dark places of uncrossing the wires to mitigate the long-term problems in our lives and the battles we will face in our future, this is a truth we must cling to that breaks strongholds. I choose what goes in. I choose what I believe. I get to choose what goes in. I get to choose what I believe. God has given me that power. And I'm tired of listening to the lies of the enemy. I'm tired of, by accident, allowing the lies of the enemy to go in my mind and to feel like I'm losing mentally every single day, that I'm choosing to fight back, to take control back, to write it, think it, and profess it until I believe it. And when we do, that small, simple, and courageous act begins to allow us to win the war in our minds. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning, God, we thank you for this same truth that we repeat again and again and again, that you are a God who loves us, a God who knows us, a God who sees our battles and the worry, fear, anxiety and insecurities that we face every single day. And yet, not only are you a God who sees all of those struggles in our life, you're a God who cares enough to not leave us to figure it out on our own. You give us instruction, a battle plan that we can charge forward with, truth that we can fight back against the enemy's lies in our lives and in our minds. And so, God, on this day, may we be courageous enough to fight back by recognizing I get to choose what goes in. I get to choose what I believe. And on this day, I'm choosing to rewire my mind, to uncross the crossed wires so that I can get something different out of my life, the future of my life, my story, because I'm changing what I'm choosing to put in. Give us that kind of courage. Take the simple yet courageous steps to write your truth that breaks the lies, to think it every single day, and then when we need to speak it, to say it until we believe it. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.